seated. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 1 through 18. The New King James Version we're talking about today, live in the freedom of Christ. Amen. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say unto you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have been estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So we see people were set free by Christ, but they went back into bondage. But it's always caused by someone who hindered you. You listened to someone or some evil, insidious influence that dropped a seed, a thought, a negative idea that what Jesus did was not good enough. Jesus did not finish his works. And so then you get back into being in bondage because you're now trying to shift back into what they used to do under the law, which was try to perform to get righteous. We call it self-righteous. And so they think, well, this is not good enough. I need X, Y, Z. Usually it's law or legalistic or some sort of religious rules that I have to comply with to be righteous or to have rights and privileges afforded to me. Does everybody see this? Everybody who's bound as a Christian was hindered by someone. Either a teaching they swallowed like a bird with their mouth open and their eyes closed, and they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker and got poisoned or polluted by it. How many know there's many false prophets? How many know there's many false teachers out there? How many know there's people that want to put you under bondage, put the hokey-dokey on you, put the hocus-pocus on you, and get you to believe that, hey, you need to break all these generational curses in your family because you didn't do X, Y, Z? And, oh, they'll tell you this is because of this problem of sin that never got dealt with. When Jesus finished it all. See, the Bible even says sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. But people go up back under the bondage of sin because they think sin has not been finished with yet as far as cured or taken care of. He said, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There's people and out there who have cooled our hearts down. You remember when you first got saved or born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and you were on fire for God. Then all of a sudden, I ain't feeling like coming to church anymore. I don't feel like witnessing anymore. I just don't feel like reading my Bible. Something's wrong with me. Who hindered you? Who cut your fire off? He said, this persuasion, verse 8, does not come from him who calls you. That God's not cooling your fire off. The Lord's not taking you away from him. The God has not put you out to pasture. Come on, y'all say amen to that. That doesn't come from God. Who's hindering you from obeying the truth? What's hindering you from obeying the truth? It's something or someone that has cooled your fire off. That has brought your freedom into jeopardy. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Y'all know the story about yeast and dough and water. You put it in, what happens to that dough with flour and all? You put what? Starts to rise. So all the devil has to do is allow someone to put something in your ear that gets into your heart and gets into your head. And now you're affected by that. That's why you have to take heed what you hear and how you hear things. I always suggest if the Spirit's not saying it to you, the church that you belong to and the capital C church that's contained throughout the Word of God, then you need to put it on the shelf. Because the Bible says 7 times in Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to who? Who do I need to be listening to? What the Spirit is saying to the church. Not prophet or prophetess so-and-so is saying to online. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Unless it confirms what's going on in the church, you need to put it on the shelf. Praise God. All right, I have confidence in you, verse 10, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but those who trouble you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. I, brethren, if I could speak, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. You know the problem with self-righteousness is people want a merit badge. They want to be able to stand up there like Satan tried to stand up to God and said, I will exalt my throne against the stars of God. I will set against the mountains against the size of God. I will be like the Most High. 4 or 5 times he said, I will. That means he's had an eye problem. He had P-R-I-D-E problem. That means pride, the problem is in the middle of it. I. Look at how well I taught. Look at how well I served. Or how long I serve. And so you drift into this idea or this mentality that I deserve accolades or I deserve an achievement badge from God because I did this. We got to start at the foot of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. And start at the tomb, the empty tomb of the resurrection, and say, this is what he did. And because of what he did, this is what I'm empowered to do. And it's all because of his grace and his goodness. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. There's going to be a lot of self-righteous people going the wrong way when they die. Because they cut them off. They cut themselves off from Christ. Religions emphasize works that we try to do to become right with God. Climb up this mountain on your knees. Go up and down several times and say certain phrases. Some even contemporize it and say, well, just go get baptized and dunked in water. Now, baptism is biblical, but baptism doesn't save you. going underwater doesn't save you. Because some people try to make that as work. If I just get baptized, then I'll be saved. No, if you get baptized into Christ, then you are saved. And because you get baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, then you get baptized into water because you've been baptized in the body of Christ. Somebody say, glory to God. And because you are saved, you get baptized. Because some people go the extreme and say, well, I don't got to do nothing but get in the water. Well, you're trying to earn it through getting in the water. Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? All right, verse 11. And I, brother, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have not been called to liberty. You have been called to liberty. Everybody say, I have been called to liberty. Now, what does that mean? Freedom. God called you to freedom. God called you and created you in Christ free. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I want to say this. Your career is what you're paid for. A calling is what you're made for. I'll say it one more time. A career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. You've been called and made to be free. So we're supposed to live free and be free. How? In Christ. Because, see, when people think it's just a career, Christianity is not a career. Living in Christ is not a career because some people want to get paid. Those of us that are connected to sports, we know it's a big deal during off-season and trade or time frames because players want to get paid. That's their career. But your calling is what you're made for. You're made to be free. So you have two choices. Be free or go left or right into legalism or lawlessness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen. He said, you've been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty or your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say, I am supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Now, the neighbor doesn't mean your family only. Your neighbor includes those that are different than you, those that are difficult to you, those that don't look like you. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you will not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Somebody say, glory to God. So these scriptures, these verses outline and communicate to us two powerful and prominent truths. There's more, but there's two that we want to practice and live that I want to emphasize today. Number one, first, that you are to live in freedom that we have possessed in Christ. Born again, as born again believers and Christ followers, we are to live in the freedom. Everybody say, live free in Christ because you are free. Because you are free. All right, secondly, we're to stay free from the yoke of bondage of legalism and the blinding and binding sins and lusts of and works of our flesh. So some people go opposite extremes. They go the other side of grace, which go back into the law, or they go to the extreme or excess of grace and go into lawlessness. So I always visualize it as this. Some people go left. They don't stay down the middle of the road. They go left, back into legalism, or they go right and loose into lawlessness. So they think I can go just do whatever my flesh wants to do. I'm free. Nobody tells me anything. I'm in charge of my, I'm the only one in charge of my life. Well, he told us to walk in the Spirit so we don't live loose and lawless. Amen. So Jesus preached in the synagogues in his own hometown of Nazareth and identified himself as the one who Isaiah words would be fulfilled. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom." Everybody say, proclaim freedom. To the captives. That those are physical and spiritual captives. I like how it says in the Amplified. It's physical and spiritual captives. And to release from darkness for the prisoners and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Now in Luke 4:18, it says it this way. New Living Translation again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So the freedom-giving grace and the anointing that was on Christ then. Now, some people have this idea that Christ is unanointed now. He is still anointed with the same anointing and even greater now. So the same freedom-giving grace and anointing that was on Christ then is available and accessible in Christ now. Friends, we stand. We must stand and stay in the freedom that we have in Christ. Otherwise, we will either stray backwards into legalism or try to live self-righteous and self-reliant in our own works to attain salvation or attain spirituality, which means a right standing with God. And it'll be a good conversation sometimes to you with yourself and even with the words that you've heard from other people who did not know any better but told you, you got to do this. Man, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. And you're getting all bound up with what you got to do. When Jesus has already done it. Some people get bound up and wound up into legalism trying to get healed. I got to do this. I got to do that. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do all this. Got to do that. And so we get so animated and analytical about trying to get healed or trying to get something Jesus already got for us 2,000 years ago. Come on now. Hallelujah. All we have to do is by faith tap into the grace of healing and receive our healing. This is where people struggle because they go left. They feel because I broke the law or I'm not living up to where I need to be. I don't need to do that. So I don't deserve to be prosperous. I don't deserve to be healed. I don't deserve to have family peace. And so they walk around like living martyrs with a victim or defeatist mentality, and they're saying, oh, I'm just paying for my sins. Well, Jesus paid it all. Come on now. He paid it all. All to him we owe. Praise God. Hallelujah. We start with the finished works of Christ. We don't go left and go back. And we walk around in pride saying, I can't do this. You know, I can't see. You know, I can't do this. I can't move this way. You know, that I don't feel good here. You know, this organ is falling apart. It's utterances of self-righteousness, of legalism, where we're trying to work something. You can't manipulate God. You can't move. You can't massage him around with your mouth. Amen. Come on now. You got to accept. That's what believe is. Accept what his truth says. Jesus Christ has set you free. Praise God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So be free. Lord, I'm struggling with this addiction or this bad habit. Maybe it's to worry. Maybe it's to run off at the mouth and say a few cuss words. Maybe it's to gossip. Who set you free? Jesus has set us free. It's ludicrous to add more to it. You know, you get, if you even get wrapped around the axle about your weight, you can go probably find 50 different opinions about what you need to do to lose weight. And people will tell you, eat bananas, eat avocados, eat this. No, don't eat that. Don't eat avocados, brother. Don't eat eggs. Don't eat this. Use this oil. Don't use this oil. And you're like, what? Anybody ever seen some of those infomercials and commercials? And they tell you, you got to do this, got to do this. And then you got friends and loved ones who will encourage you. You got to do this. You don't eat that. Don't eat this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Eat this. Make sure you're getting more of this. Make sure you drink more of this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. And then all you're all bound up now. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why he said walk in the Spirit. Who's supposed to be governing your life? Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Who's supposed to be guiding your life? Now, some people would balk at this, but one lady who was having migraine issues every morning, very, very excruciating migraines in the morning, Holy Spirit told her, you need to go drink a Coke. Drink a little bit of Coke every morning. And some people go, oh, you know, Coke has all that sugar and all that stuff in it. Well, the Holy Spirit knew the ingredients in Coke was needed to remedy the migraines she was having. So she popped open a Coke. And somebody says, you should have drunk Pepsi. No, no. No, Coke. She told, the Holy Spirit told her Coke. And she drunk the Coke. And guess where the migraines went? But see, that's freedom. That's freedom to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you stuff without you going through all these hoops and machinations and regulations and rules and saying, oh, no, you got to do this. This is the formula. This is that. This is that. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. Some of us need to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, tell me what's going on with my body. Get your face out of Facebook and listening to everybody with, you know, a degree behind their name. Not thank God for the degrees behind their name, but everybody don't know your body. And no one knows your body better than the one who lives inside of your body. That's the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to listen to the guide on the inside. Amen. Somebody say, hallelujah. So the opposite of legalism is to go extreme and struggle and succumb to the barrage of temptations to sin and fulfill the works of the flesh. Now, we'll mention them a little bit next week, but in other words, instead of being legalistic, some people live lawless and loose. They said the struggle is real. They step into unlawful and immoral areas And as the scriptures tells us in Galatians 5, there are three areas of sin. There are sensual sins, there are spiritual sins, and there are social sins. So there's social sins are listed the most, because that's where most people get into problems, because other people come into their lives. You can hear it just in the context, even in my job. People talk about the boss. People talk about the managers. People talk about the company. And I'm watching them, and I'm listening, but the Holy Spirit's got me buttoned up, because he said, if you speak against that company, you speak against that boss, your business goes like this. You shut the faucet off. Because he tells us that our faith is supposed to work by what? Love. How do I operate my faith? I'm supposed to operate it through love. So a couple weeks ago, you know, I was able to write a really big product or policy, really big, extremely big, record-breaking big. People got mad. People start chirping their lips. How did you get? And this was one that I didn't even have to work for. Somebody asked me to do on it because they didn't want to do it and they didn't want to deal with it. And they said, well, you can just have it. I just said, okay, I'll do it for you. Walking in love, loving my neighbor as myself. That's what's at the whole law. It was a long drive because I drive way out of town. Drove out there, dropped the big ones. Everybody's chirping. And the boss calls me and says, hey, you should share that with that person that gave it to you. I said, she didn't ask me to share it with her. She said, you just take the whole thing. But what did I do? I took the high ground. He said, at least give her 20-25%. I gave her 30%. Why? Because faith works by what?
Love.
Faith works by love. Amen. Amen. You're never going to get ahead by doing things because you want to do them or by lust. Faith doesn't work by lust. Everything you want. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. And while they're wagging their tongues, they dried up like a, you know, like the heat's been going on here in Texas with no rain. They've been drying up. But, amen, what he said, you know, those that meditate in God's word day and night, they'll be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. They'll bear fruit in every season. Come on now. Amen. And whatever they do prospers. So most people get in trouble with other people. When you try to become self-righteous, you choose to live legalistic and religious. And you can say, I'm holier than who? And when they look at other people around them, you don't pray like I do pray. You don't go to church as much as I do. You don't read your Bible enough like I do. And they even talk to God. Hey, I'm the one being religious, Lord. Legalistic. Self-righteous. And then on the other side, when you choose to become rebellious and disobedient, you live lawless outside of Christ. I just do what I want to do. I say what I want to say. Both of them absolutely sever and cut you off from grace. Now let's look at the first four verses again. Let's look at it again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Y'all here? Amen. Let's read in the New Living Translation this time. We read it in the New King James. So Christ has truly set us free. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now make sure that you stay free. That's you. That's talking to you. Make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Verse 2, listen, I, Paul, tell you that if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, circumcision, if you read chapter 4, was analogous of the covenant response that God made to Abraham. That I'm covenant to, it was a sign and a symbol. So in other words, it was the shedding of a male foreskin, and there was blood shed in joining that covenant or representing that covenant. And so they were basically saying, this is what I did to show that I'm in covenant with you. But he's saying, if you go back to doing things yourself and trying to bleed and sweat and toil, in other words, works of self-righteousness, religious tradition. He said Christ was to be no benefit because you now take it out of faith and into your flesh and into works. And I say again, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. Now, quiz, how many laws were there? Everybody say it was a bunch. It was over 300 and something. I think it was 318. It could be more, but I think it's around that amount. So you're talking about trying to keep 318 rules? Can't remember them. For if you're trying to make yourself, right with God, verse 4, by keeping the law, you have been cut off from who? Now, is that pretty plain? Now, if you're cut off from Christ, you're cut out of grace, and you fall from your place. I'll say it again. When you're cut off from Christ, you're cut out of grace, and you fall from your place. What place? The place of victory, the place of blessing, the place of triumph. That's how Christians can go and shuffle around for weeks on end, defeated, despondent, and in despair. You've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. So the expression stand fast was a military term meaning hold to one's ground. So that's what we're saying this morning. Hold your ground. By the Holy Spirit, Paul was telling the people of God at Galatia that once they gained ground in their spiritual life, they were to hold fast to it and not allow the enemy to wrest it from them. What about you today? Have you let the enemy pull you back and make you step back into your spiritual life? What about stepping away and stepping outside of Christ and into crisis of sin and disobedience? Amen. See, you see, friends, liberty is freedom, but freedom is not free. This brother here, my wife and I and others, have served in the U.S. military. It costs. This brother paid a personal price by going through an IED or something like that. You were near an IED and exploded twice over in the foreign land for the freedom of this nation. Liberty is freedom, but freedom is not free. It doesn't come easy, nor is a person to remain free without effort. You will not remain free without effort. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we must be vigilant to preserve and protect our spiritual freedom, much like the citizens of America are fighting to protect and preserve their political freedoms. It is a fight. Are you listening to me? So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord, was perfect and complete, but it cannot benefit or profit a Christian believer who trusts in something else. Amen. So his sacrifice was perfect and complete, but it won't benefit or profit you if you trust in something or someone else. Even if you're looking to me to get healed, you're trusting in the wrong person. Because Jesus Christ is your healer. Let me see if he's anointed enough to pray for my situation. Christ is and always will be anointed enough to help you and give you healing for your situation. Somebody say, glory to God. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, will provide unlimited help for those who place their undivided trust in him, but no help at all to those who bypass his saving grace or ignore his finished works through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you ignore that, you're thinking down here, you're at the altar perhaps thinking, Lord, I need to receive my healing for this thing. But you're thinking, I got to do something extra. To get healed. Or the Lord wants me to just work out and work real long and hard to try to get healed and go 2 or 3 years struggling trying to get healed. That's not freedom. Well, praise God. Y'all got quiet on me. He's done it all. He's did it all. And we press up on our doctors, and we press up on the medical people. Thank God for medical doctors. Thank God for doctors. They help us. Amen. Thank God for people that help us. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But we lean on them instead of lean and depend on Jesus. And all they doing is dealing pills to us. Here's another pill. Here's another pill. Let's try this. Let's try this one. Amen. Y'all here? Y'all gone home already? So Jesus, our Father God didn't send Jesus, his son, to take us out of bondage and slavery and immediately put us back into another bondage. He took us out of the kingdom and the control, domination, and dominion of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Romans 4:6-4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power of the Father, we also may live new lives. In Christ, both death to sin and life to a new master are accomplished. Jesus Christ is our Lord and personal Savior. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, in closing this thing up, I'm going to elaborate a little bit more about don't falling from grace, or don't go back into legalism or lawlessness. Look at verse 4 again. We just read it, Galatians 5:4. If you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, or some rules, or some regimentation, or some religious tradition, it could be all of that included in that word law, you have been cut off from who? Now, we always said, you're either in Christ or you're where? In crisis. You've been cut off from Christ and you've fallen away from grace. So we saw earlier in Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to read that one real quick, in verse 20 and 21. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside, King James says, frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Everybody say, don't frustrate the grace. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So live in this earthly body by trusting in who? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself who? For me. We ought to almost say that every day for the next 21 days. I live this life trusting in who? The Son of God. Amen. I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God. He said, I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless, for in keeping the law could make us right with God. There's no need for Christ to die. Now, frustrate is a word that means several things in the Strong's Concordance of this word, frustrate or meaningless. It means disesteem. It means violate. It means neutralize. It means despise, reject, or consider meaningless. In other words, we can despise and reject the finished works of Christ and even violate or dishonor the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ by continuing, by counting and considering it meaningless or not good enough to make us right with God or free from sin. Or free from shame, or free from sorrow, or free from sickness, or satanic control. See, when you think about, Lord, I know I need to get healed here in this area in my life, but you're thinking about, what do I need to do? You're going down the wrong path. You need to be thinking about what he has already done. Are y'all getting that? When you're thinking about, Lord, that my finances is going like a roller coaster, up and down, and up ways and sideways. How do I settle down this area of and settle into this area and grace of prosperity that you provided for me? You need to think about what he's already done. Though for his sake he became poor, though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich, abundantly supplied, and have a full provision. Praise God. I mean, God turned my curse into a blessing. Praise God. He, upon the tree, he died for you and me. He turned our curse into a blessing. He did it. Our Lord did it. If we're thinking about what we got to do, then we're going down the wrong path. Amen. You got to think about what he's already done. Come on, y'all. He killed more situations of blindness. So blindness should not last and persist in our house and in our home and in our bodies. Amen. Come on now. Jesus Christ did it all. Praise God. He did it all, praise God. Father God, he told us that Moses at 120, he says his eyes didn't grow dim, neither was his natural forces abated. Father God, if you did it for Moses, come on now, if you did it for Moses at 120, he'll do it again for me today in 2022, praise God. He'll do it again. He'll heal again. He'll set me free again. See, you hear in chapter 5, we just read, verse 4, that we can fall from God's grace when we try to make ourselves right. Now, one of the words for righteous, because justified or means to be declared righteous, or righteousness, means right standing with God or a good position with the Father. Or it also means what they used to use in the early days of America, the Bill of Rights, or used to be called originally the Bill of Righteousness. That means you had a full legal right for what, brother? To be healed. You have a right to be healed, not because you earned it or deserve it or merited it. You have a right to be healed because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, you were what? You were healed. You have a right to prosper. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. He took the crown of thorns to take away that poverty mindset, that poverty mindset. We're going to run out of money, honey. We're going to run out of money. Let's hold on to it. Let's don't give our tithes and offerings. You got to get that run out. You got to get free from poverty. Free from a poverty mindset. What are we going to do? Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. You have a right to prosper. You have a right to be healed. You have a right to be free. Praise God. You have a right to family peace. You have a right to see your family as and home and marriage as a heaven on earth. But you cut off the grace. You cut off from Christ. And then when you cut off from Christ, you fall into crisis. I hope y'all see this morning. And when you cut off from Christ, you fall from grace. Let's talk about this frustrate word again. Fall from grace. Falling from grace, that means falling out of the sphere of grace, and you've lost one's grasp on grace. I'm gonna ask for an illustration here. I'm going to use father and son. Tristan, if you would come and bring Donnie. If you can, I'm going to illustrate this. Just carry him up there. Just act like you can't. Just carry him up here. We're going to. Okay. Let's give him a hand as they come. Encourage him. You just stand right there. Yeah, just stand right there so everybody can see. So this is. See, somebody said faith is our grip on God, and we trust him, but grace is his grip on us. So you see the image, father and son, God's carrying you. Is Donovan trying to put any effort in? He doesn't have to put any effort to carry him. He can carry him into healing, can carry him into prosperity, can carry him into peace. Come on now. Can carry him into success and business endeavors. That's the grace of God. Everybody say the grace of God. You don't want to frustrate the grace. You don't want to fall from the grace. Praise God. Because grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor. Praise God. It's 21 definitions of grace. We can't put a limit on it. But we can limit it. Grace's work in our lives, in your marriage. Grace is amazing. But when you cut off from Christ, you fall from grace. So I'm going to trust his father to just drop him on the floor. Donnie, get ready to stand on the floor. Just drop him. Okay, let him go. I know he's a little upset. Okay. Now you can pick him up again. You can pick him up again. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. good. Now, some people say that about God. They don't like God. Here you go. Got a little blessing for you, buddy. Praise God. All right, let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. What do people do? They get frustrated. It's too hard. They're sitting in the doctor's office mad at God. Why you let me go through this? I don't know. And that doctor, he's doing his job or her job. And they shove you another pill, and you get more madder. At the doctor and at Jesus. Why? You're cutting off Christ. And you're falling from grace. Does it mean you're not saved? No. It just means you cut off. I call it from the three G's of God. His grace. His goodness, that's his blessings, and your growth. I'll say it again. You need to write that down. When you cut off yourself from grace, you cut yourself off from God's grace, which means favor in 21 or more different ways. That's what the Bible calls it, manifold grace. That means there's many dimensions and facets of grace. Grace for your marriage, grace for your body, grace for your finances, grace for your future. Come on now, grace for your everything you need. God's grace, he's made it available in Christ. But if you cut yourself off from Christ, you fall from that grace. That means there's no growth. There's no grace. There's no goodness. That means the blessings that will supersede and override the curse and earth curse system of life never get on the scenery of your life. You don't see the goodness. Remember that song? Oh, you know, his goodness is running after me. You know, Psalms 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But you look back and say, nothing following me. Oh, man, I see it tangibly in the business I'm in. These guys are dried up months, 2 months in a row. Nothing. But I'm like, your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And things are popping up. Things are coming up. And there's growth coming up. Praise God. And there's the grace of God, the covenant of favor opening up. Praise God. Somebody say, hallelujah. So when we fall from grace, we don't lose our salvation. We do, however, we do close the door to growth. To grace and the goodness of God's blessings. They become estranged to us. And then what happens? We get mad. I don't understand why. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading out of Amplified. Hebrews chapter 12, 12 through 17. It says, so then brace up and reinvigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottered knees and cut through and make firm and plain the smooth path. Paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths for you to go in the right directions so that the lame and the halting limbs may not be put out of joint and rather may be cured. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and be on the watch and look after one another. Uh-oh. And see to it that no one falls back and fails to secure God's grace. No one falls back. And everyone does not fail. No one fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor, his spiritual blessing, in order that no root of bitterness, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and they may become contaminated and defiled by it. That no one may be guilty of sexual vice or become profane, godless, and sacrilegious person as Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain title to it, his inheritance of the blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, and set aside. So he could not find no opportunity to repair or by repentance what he had done. No chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, friends, amid the problems of life, persecution and temptation to give up, Christians are responsible for one another's spiritual well-being. You find a person, the big problem of self-righteousness is the first part of that hyphenated word, self. They only think about who? I'm going to get my blessing some way, somehow. And they go left. And they cut off from Christ. And they forget about everybody else. They don't even call, text, reach out, shout out to anybody. So thus the Holy Spirit by Paul, by the Holy Spirit, challenges us as believers to examine our own ranks and find no fault, to find no fault, but act like a physician who is interested in his or own patient's health and spiritual well and mental wholeness. So we look for the symptoms of disease, dysfunction, and disobedience. We look for disease. We look for bitterness. We look for spiritual immorality. We look for an evil heart of unbelief. In other words, unbelief is basically unpersuadableness or unpersuaded to act in faith and trust in the finished works of Christ. So they're unpersuaded to act. That root of bitterness refers to people whose attitudes a poison and divide the church or the home. In Deuteronomy 29, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18 and 220, I'm almost done. Beware lest any among you, a man or woman or family or tribe, so he's talking about this stuff could happen in your house, whose mind and heart turns away this day from the Lord your God and goes and to serve the gods of these nations, there lest there should be among you a poisonous root that bears gall and wormwood, and lest when he hears the words of this curse and oath, he flatters and congratulates himself in his mind and heart, saying, I have peace and safety, though I walk in the stubbornness of my mind and heart, bringing down a hurricane of destruction to sweep away the watered land with the dry. Thus, the Lord will not pardon him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall settle on him, and the Lord will blot out his very name from under the heavens. See, such people have an evil heart of unbelief that rejects Christ and his gospel that brings God's grace. They're saying, I'm trying to get righteous my own way. So he said, you got to watch people, listen to people. So living in freedom means we live by faith and we live in the Spirit in Christ. In other words, we live under the influence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We allow the Word of God to govern our lives and the Holy Spirit to govern and control our lives in three areas: what we think, what we say, and what we do. That is true freedom. Grace is not a license to sin and an act to act self-righteous. Grace is a license to serve. Everybody say it with me. Grace is a license to serve. So he says we gotta watch for one another to make sure we're not falling from grace. Where's John? There you go. Where's my? Hand me that green cup right there. It was on my chair. I don't know what happened to it. Yeah, there you go. Come on, John. So it says watch one another, make sure we don't fall from grace. So John's gonna have this cup. I don't have a stethoscope. I'm not a doctor. So medical doctor, I don't have one. So John's going to put it up against my chest. Now you're going to hear it. Listen to my heart. Listen to my heart. I don't know if you can hear it or not. So John's supposed to do that with people, right? As brothers and sisters, that's how we do with each other. You're listening to the words, but you're listening to their. And that word means like a physician would listen to a patient. You make sure their heart's not sick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Whose heart are you listening to see if it's not sick? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I hadn't seen him in a while, so we're going to just give you a little blessing here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And bless you for going to school, starting school this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, bless you, John. Bless you, hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. Let's encourage him. So you know when people are falling from grace, when they don't care about anybody else's race or role or responsibility. I got to get mine, Pastor. Yeah, I know you got to get yours, but Jesus already got yours. Amen. So stop thinking about yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, our Father God is not a dictator. He is a liberator. Our Lord liberates us in order to liberate us, to liberate others by Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. Galatians 5 says, you are running this race well. Who has held you back from following the truth? Again, is anyone keeping you back, holding you back, tripping you up in your faith and in your race? Verse 8 and 9, as I close, you can go ahead and stand with me if you would. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Guys, if you listen to the ladies, if you listen to the wrong person on Facebook, they can take your heart away and turn your heart away from truth. Now, this is a little heavy message, but I trust you received it.
Yes.
Because some people, pride themselves, which is not something you should pride yourself in, knowing a whole lot of people and listening to a whole lot of stuff. We'll be led and controlled by the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's our guide. The Bible and the Holy Spirit. And hear what the Spirit has to say in our church and in the big capital C, Universal Church. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And stay free.
Yes.
Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to hear from heaven a little bit this morning and this afternoon about your freedom that we know that we must stay in and stand firm and stand fast in. I ask you, Lord, as people have heard this word, both in person and online, that they will receive again, if they're not free, your freedom.